2015. Happy birthday to Lamar Odom. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Drew Way. And if you want to be like Drew Way and be a sponsor of the podcast for one episode, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be like Drew and be a supporter of the podcast and a sponsor for one episode. Also, big shout out to Moneyball.com.au. And if you are listening to this in Australasia, make sure you're signing up to Moneyball.com.au, joining in the tournaments on there, taking me on in the head-to-head leagues and hopefully not taking any of my money, but get in there and have a go. It's pretty fun. And I'm sure everyone who's joined in the daily fantasy stuff down under has really enjoyed what Moneyball has brought to the table this season. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. As I said, leave a review on iTunes. It's extremely helpful in getting the podcast more noticed by people. And you guys have done a fantastic job of that so far. All right, five games on a Thursday in the NBA. Let's do what Michael Bolton says.
Let's get to it.
And let's get to it. The monstrous line of the night is Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers. Lillard was fantastic, and he's been fantastic pretty much all season. And we knew he had to take on a role this year. 27 points again. Someone would have predicted the Blazers were going to smash the Grizzlies like they did. 27 points for Lillard. He hit 7 threes, a rebound, 5 assists, a block, and really efficient. And he's been quite efficient in a number of games this season. Not every game, but I think his efficiency is something we weren't really anticipating. He shot 47% from the field. He was only at 43 last year, 42 the year before, and with less options around him, that didn't seem like that's the way it was going to go. I don't really think it's sustainable for him to be at that level. He's averaging 27 points a game, almost 4 threes, almost 7 assists, over a steal, and 47% from the field. Some of those numbers are going to come down. I doubt he continues to average 27 points. I doubt he continues to shoot 47%. And when the percentage comes down, the scoring will come down. I'm not saying to sell on Damian Lillard at all, but it's going to be hard for him to continue at that sort of pace. But he was massive in this game against the Grizzlies, and huge if you own him in fantasy. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Zaza Pachulia of the Dallas Mavericks. He had 14 points and 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block. He was super efficient as well. He went 4 of 6 from the field and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. And Zaza's a guy that is clearly not owned in many places, only 29% ownership, and I don't really know why that's the case. Yes, he's only averaging 9.6 points, but he's giving you 9.4 rebounds, which is a pretty decent value. He gives you almost a steal. We're going to expect his assist numbers to go up. He's only at 1.4 this year. He's a center who can give you 2.5 to 3 a game. His field goal percentage is also going to go up. He's currently shooting at 36. We'll expect that to jump about 6 or 7%. And he's a good free throw shooting big man as well. He's at 92 on the year. So there's room for Zaza to grow. I think he should be owned in all 12-team leagues. Look, he's only playing 25 minutes a game. The Mavericks don't have another center. We're going to talk about their other guy who's playing center in a little bit, but he's going to get these 25 to 27 minutes a night. He's going to be a little bit more efficient from the field. He's going to be a good free throw shooter. He'll get steals. He gets assists. He has use, and I don't think that I think 29% is too low for Zaza Pachulia for this season anyway. I did like him heading into the season, and he's been pretty good to start things off. The next one we have a look at is the young gun of the night, and we're staying in Dallas for that, and we're looking at Dwight Powell, who played 23 minutes tonight. He went 14-9. He had a steal and a block. He went 6 of 12 from the field, and that's a few good games in a row from Powell. He is he's 8 minutes a game, but he's at 10 points, 8 rebounds, 1.5 assists, half a steal, half a block, some pretty nice shooting numbers, 46%, which we think will go up. He's a guy that he doesn't need to be owned everywhere. Definitely not in 10-team leagues. 12-team leagues, you can pay attention to him. But he's a guy that I said you needed to keep an eye on in the preseason, because if Dirk goes down, Dwight Powell is going to be you in Dwight Powell to be owned. And he's carving out that role as that backup 4 and backup 5 in Dallas. He's taking the minutes that Pachulia's not playing. He's playing behind Dirk. He hasn't hit any threes yet this season. I imagine that will start. He will hit some threes. It's not going to be huge. I think he might get to 0.2 or 0.3 threes. He can hit the long ball. He did it in summer league. He hit some pretty decent, some pretty decent 3-point scoring nights and some scoring nights in general. He's a guy who I do like as a deeper league player and someone to watch, depending on how the situation plays out in Dallas. Now we look to the negative side of the ledger, and the dud of the night is, unfortunately, it's my boy Nikola Mirotic of the Chicago Bulls. He wasn't great. I think that's fair to say. He only played 16 minutes, 2 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist for Mirotic. A couple of poor performances in a row for him. Still having a pretty decent season. He's only getting 27 minutes a game at the moment, and that's reduced a little bit lately. He was getting torched by Ibaka and Durant in this game, so he wasn't able to play as much. I don't think there's anything to be worried about in terms of his long-term value. You're not looking to move on from him. You're not looking to drop him, but no chance you're dropping him. He's still averaging almost 14 points, over 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 0.8 assists and half a block, 0.8 steals as well. The steals will go up to 1. I reckon the block should go to 1. He's going to be a triple 1 threat. The field goal percentage, let's hope it comes up a bit from the 39.7 that it's currently sitting at. This is a good buy low opportunity on Mirotic, because I did have a couple of tweets coming in. What's going on with Mirotic? Do we still hold? And if people are thinking, even considering dropping him, you need to look to see if they drop him. And if not, go low ball, go really low ball on him, because he can be a lot better than these last couple of games have shown. And we saw it at the start of the season. I don't know why everyone is going completely down on Mirotic after a couple of slow games. So if someone in your league is panicking a bit with Mirotic and thinking, oh, what's going on? Yeah, they've still got that idea that Noah's going to take all his minutes like Noah did in this game. And that's fine. It's one game from the season, though. It hasn't been the way it's run for pretty much most of it. So let's not get too panicky on Nikola Mirotic at this point. All right, that's it. That's the daily awards done. Now let's transition as we always do at this point and look at these games in a little bit more detail. I'm going to bring up the box scores on the screen so you can watch along as I'm talking. The first game we look at is the Miami Heat, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now the Heat, they were without Mario Chalmers and Gerald Green with that personal issue. Chris Bosh started off the game really well. He ended up the game pretty well as well. 16 and 12, that's a big rebounding night for him. Not much in the other categories, but pretty solid. Hassan Whiteside, 12 and 9 with 4 blocks. You can't really complain about that either. That's definitely not the upper echelon performances he was putting in beforehand. 7 turnovers you don't really love that, but still 12 and 9 and 4 blocks is a pretty decent return from Whiteside. Dwayne Wade, recovered from migraines, 25 and 5 with 3 steals, and Goran Dragic, 18 points, but not a huge amount else. Justice Winslow with Mario Chalmers and Gerald Green out. Winslow played 36 minutes and he didn't do anything. 7-3-2 with a steal and a block. And this is, I think, going to be the situation for Winslow. If for some reason Wade gets hurt or Deng gets hurt, Winslow is not going to be a standard league sort of guy, especially early on. I don't think he's going to have any sort of ability to put up big enough numbers for us to look at in standard leagues. Tyler Johnson was also a beneficiary of Chalmers and Green being out. He played 25 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists, but we don't really care a huge amount about what Tyler Johnson is doing. On to the Minnesota Timberwolves. This game was it was a little bit ugly, so the minutes are spread out quite a bit. Ricky Rubio, 9 and 5 assists with 3 steals. Yeah, whatever. There's nothing great here, let's be honest. But the good thing from Gorgui Dieng owners is he played 26 minutes, went 10 and 6 with 2 steals and a block. He played more minutes than Nemanja Bjelica, than Karl Anthony Towns, Shabazz Muhammad, Kevin Garnett. He played the most minutes out of all the big men on the team. He played the third most minutes out of every player. Now, some of that can be attributed to the fact that it was a blowout, but the game before, he was trending upwards as well. So I'm okay with dropping him in certain situations, but the trend is moving in the right direction for Gorgui Dieng. So unless there's someone that you just desperately have to add, I'm not pulling that panic trigger just yet. Shabazz Muhammad went 14 and 6, a good night for him. And Karl Anthony Towns, the rookie slowdown occurred after 2 massive games to start off. He was 6 and 4 here with 3 blocks. He still contributed 3 blocks. His shot didn't fall, and there's going to be nights like this. And this is what happens with rookies. Nemanja Bjelica was still the first big man off the bench, 5 and 7, but 3 assists to 3. He doesn't have fantasy value unless you're in a deeper sort of format. Yes, he's getting 25 to 26 minutes, but it doesn't mean that we need to look at him in most sort of formats. Andrew Wiggins he's been really bad to start this season. Another horrible shooting night, 28% on 18 attempts, 12 points, 4 rebounds. If you drafted Andrew Wiggins and you went high on him, you are clearly not happy at the moment. But what can you do? You're not dropping him. You're not selling him low. You're hoping he gets to that level. I never thought he was going to get to that level. You just hold tight. Tayshaun Prince and Kevin Garnett continue to thieve minutes off players. Garnett, fair enough. Tayshaun Prince, look, he played 13 minutes, and that's still 13 minutes too many. And Zach LaVine is just, I just don't think he's a good player. 3 points and 3 assists for LaVine in this game. The next game up is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls with a big victory. Kevin Durant, 33-6-5, 2 blocks and 3 threes. And Westbrook just missed a triple-double, 28-10 for him. That's pretty much what we get from them on a nightly basis, and we can peg them in for that at most occasions. Steven Adams played 25 minutes before leaving the game with a back problem, 6-6 with a couple of blocks. Doesn't appear to be too much of a serious problem, but it's obviously something to monitor if you did add Adams in a 12-team league. And if you did, you could probably stream him out for someone else. Enes Kanter benefited a little bit there. He got 22 minutes and went 11-8 and a block, which is always a bonus from Kanter. And that's he's just continuing to do what he does. Serge Ibaka, 17-6 with a couple of blocks. And as per usual, the rest of the Thunder providing pretty much nothing. The Chicago Bulls, Jimmy Butler, 26-4-2, a steal, 2 blocks, 4 threes. He's continuing on at a pretty decent pace. His field goal percentage has been a little bit down this season. He shot at only 40% in this game. And that was one of the things that sort of bounced him right up last year. But it's, now that I look at it, he's still at 47. So somewhere along the line, he must have had some bigger nights earlier on. He's still been really, really good this season. He's currently as the third-ranked player in 9 cat leagues. I don't think he continued to be that good. I was definitely down on him at the start of the season. Derrick Rose, best player, 20 of the peripheral stats, but it's good to have Derrick Rose scoring 29 points. The assists have been really good from Rose this season. I've heard of people wanting to drop him. I don't think you can drop him at all. You knew that if you were drafting Derrick Rose, you were punting field goal percentage, and that's the way it's turned out. Now, the assists at 5.7, that's a pretty decent amount. That's more than he averaged last season. It's his highest total since he averaged 7.9 back in 2011-12. So he's getting those assist numbers back up. What we need now is for him to start hitting threes, which he hasn't done at all this season, and getting some steals and getting his field goal percentage up to a bit more of a respectable level than 38, which is currently where it's sitting. So anyone who thought about dropping Derrick Rose, I don't think that's a great maneuver. Joakim Noah, he played 26 minutes, 4-7-4. And that's probably best case scenario for him. And if that's best case scenario, I don't think you want to deal with it in 10-team leagues anyway. The Bulls made a change and put Doug McDermott into the starting lineup. He played 23 minutes. Tony Snell played 11. McDermott with 9 points and not much else. Snell with his standard nothing. Neither of those guys have must-own appeal. Obviously, McDermott has always been the better fantasy option in comparison to Snell, but didn't have enough minutes, and 23 is still not enough either. And the rest of the team, there's not a lot to like and not a lot to talk about. The Charlotte Hornets and the Dallas Mavericks. The Hornets, again, we can really see the change in the Hornets this year in terms of their offensive focus. Al Jefferson went 31-9 with a block, a big night from Jefferson. That was fueled by 83% shooting on 18 attempts, so a big night from him. And the Marvin Williams Express rolled on, 17-12 for Williams, 3 threes, a block. The 32 minutes he came down, but he at this point you have to own him everywhere. Jeremy Lamb, 16 points in 24 minutes, 2 threes with 4 rebounds. He shot 64% again. So like I mentioned on yesterday's show, or if it was the day before, I don't really remember, when he shot 9 of 10, this sort of, no one shoots this percentage. So his numbers are going to come down. You can add him, but to think, is he going to go 64% plus 3 games in a row? I think that's pretty unlikely. So we're likely to see Jeremy Lamb come out with a 10-point performance in the next game, and I'm not running to grab him. Cody Zeller continues to do well in minimal minutes, 11-3, 2 steals and a block. But while Marvin Williams is playing like this, Zeller's not going to get enough playing time to be valuable in standard leagues. Batum, 8-7-4, nice. And Kemba Walker with 14-7 was pretty solid as well. Jeremy Lin reduced to 17 minutes with Jeremy Lamb coming on. So Lin is in that place now where I don't think that he's they do, but if Lamb's getting 24 and Lin's getting 17 and Hairston's getting 22, then it's hard to own any of those guys. Now, Lin did have 2 steals and a block, but you know, a block is not sustainable for him. So he's in that sort of dump area. onto the Dallas Mavericks. I've already talked about two of their guys. Darren Williams had a pretty solid night, 15-3-5 with a steal. I was, for as annoying as he is, I was higher on him than most people in the preseason. And he's starting to play pretty well here over the ankle problem, putting up some okay performances. He's clearly not 20-10, Darren Williams, but he's solid for a guy you could have drafted at pick 90 or pick 100. Dirk had 14-6 and an inefficient night. Wes Matthews played 26 minutes for 11 points, and Chandler Parsons sat the entire first half, played 14 minutes in the second half for 2 points. You can't do anything with Chandler Parsons. You drafted him, you own him. You just hope that these minutes restrictions ease up in the next week or so, because they are really hurting at the moment. And same with Wes Matthews, stuck on 26 minutes. I've got a feeling, though, if Wes Matthews gets to 30 minutes, we're not going to see huge numbers from him. And it might be a case where even when he gets to 30, 32, that he's not ownable. At this point, you're just holding and seeing what happens. But I don't know that he becomes that guy who is going to be putting up big numbers for most of the time. The next one we have a look at is, well, the next game, where are we? Is the Utah Jazz and the Denver Nuggets. Gordon Hayward, a bit of a better night, definitely from a shooting perspective. He scored 20 points with two threes, three rebounds, three assists, and a steal. Got his percentages right back up there. He's still a little bit down from what he's doing, but he's going to be better. Now, the thing we need to look at Gordon Hayward is the end of last season, when he was playing without Enes Kanter and with Rudy Gobert in the lineup, his field goal percentage dipped. He was at about 42%. And that's sort of the way he started off this season. So there could be some sort of a spacing issue there. So you just have to look, maybe he's not the guy who shot 46% all of last season, and maybe he is more a 42% guy, and that does affect him. Now, he was obviously 54 in this game, and putting up some pretty decent numbers. I'm still buying low on him. Maybe it's a bit harder after a 23-3 game, but I don't know if many people are convinced. Trevor Booker, with Derek Favors limited by the illness, Favors played 15 minutes for 6-3. He played the first half, didn't play at all in the second half. Booker then played 28 minutes, went 13-9 with a triple one. This is what I was saying to watch out for Booker. Now, you couldn't have played him in a DFS lineup because Favors was playing. But if we see that Favors is not playing, Booker's going to get minutes and he's going to put up big numbers at minimal salary. And he did it here, 28 minutes, 13-9 is really good return. Alec Burks played 31 for 12 points and 8 assists. And Rodney Hood was limited to 23 minutes, 8 points, 2 threes, and 4 assists. I'm still holding Hood, but it looks like the pendulum sort of swinging towards Burke's side at the moment. And if it continues on that 32-22 ratio, then Hood becomes hard to own. Let's just hold for now. The interesting thing that the Jazz did here is that they played Howell Neto 13 minutes. They played Trey Burke 20 minutes. That's 33 minutes from their point guards. So they ran a lot of Alec Burks and Joe Ingles playing the point guard position as well, Gordon Hayward. So they ran a lot of time without an actual point guard on the court. So that's something to bear in mind, that these other guys, Burks with the 8 assists, Ingles had 2, Hayward had 3, Hood had 4. So other guys handling the ball as well. So Neto we've talked about before. There's no point owning him in any sort of format. Burke is a borderline 12 to 14 team league guy. Rudy Gobert, this is a pretty stock standard Rudy Gobert line, apart from the shooting. 8 points, 16 rebounds, 3 blocks. To go 2 of 8 from the field, you don't expect. 4 of 10 from the free throw line, this was the worry. This was the massive concern that I had in the preseason, that he was going to go to the line a lot more and he was going to shoot poorly. So far in the first couple of games, he hadn't quite done it to this level, but that's DeAndre Jordan territory. Let's hope it doesn't become that. Because if it is, the people who drafted him thinking they were saving their free throw percentage, it's not going to work out all that well for them in that sort of situation. For the Nuggets, Danilo Gallinari went 18-5 with a couple of blocks. Kenneth Faried, 9-10. Joffrey Lavernier sat this one out with that back problem, but Nikola Jokic was able to come back. He didn't do a huge amount. In fact, the whole Nuggets line, it's pretty ugly to look at. Gary Harris, 7 points. Emmanuel Mudiay, 8-7. And Mudiay is going to get better, and this is the problem with rookies as well. You're always going to get these first couple of months that are a real struggle. D'Angelo Russell's struggling significantly, but he's a guy that I don't, obviously we're not talking Lakers at the moment, but Russell's a guy that I don't think has to be owned in all formats because I didn't think he was that good in the first place, and he's struggling. Mudiay will get better, but it is going to be a rough couple of months. There's going to be some really poor performances. With Lavernier out and Jokic still coming back from that back problem, J.J. Hickson got another start, went 8-7 with a block. We don't really care too much about J.J. Hickson. And that's about all we need to talk about from that game. The last game of the night is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Portland Trailblazers. Zach Randolph, 16-10. Good night from him. Courtney Lee continues to be impressive at times. He's not impressive the whole time, but he puts up some decent performances, and he was okay here in this one. He's averaging 11.7 points this year, almost a three, 2.5 rebounds, over a steal, and that's, you know, good for top 110 value. So a lot of that's fueled by his, you know, really low turnovers and his high free throw percentage. But he's getting 30 minutes, and he's putting up okay numbers. He's more of a stream option, but he's someone that to not ignore completely. Marc Gasol played through that neck problem, which I didn't really think he would. He played 28 minutes, went 15-5 with a couple of blocks. So that meant that anyone who grabbed Brandon Wright, that didn't really work out. So you can obviously go back and drop him. Conley had a stinker, 7-2-3. And Beno Udrih chipped in with 6 assists in his 16 bench minutes. Not a lot to really talk about from the Grizzlies. CJ McCollum, 24-5 with 4 threes. A good night from him. And Myers, we got a Myers Leonard sighting. He played through the ankle problem. 14-5 with 2 assists, a 3. He went 71% from the field, hit all 3 of his free throws. This is the Myers Leonard that I was expecting. Let's hope there's more of that to come. Obviously, the ankle, not a problem because he played one day after doing it. So, yeah, my thought yesterday in the show was, yeah, you can drop him if the ankle is going to be an issue. But I would be looking to re-grab him. Yes, it's one good game, but this is more along the lines. Now, he's not a 71% shooter. He's not a 25% shooter either. He's somewhere in the middle, around that 45 to 50 range. And that's where he's going to have value. Mason Plumlee, he's productive in limited minutes, 8-12. El-Farouq Aminu, 11-10 in 33 minutes. And Mo Harkless, after a big double-double yesterday, went 10-3 with 4 assists in 25 minutes. Not a huge amount to talk about with Mo Harkless there. All right, that's it. That's the games done from Thursday. Let's have a quick break while we transition into talking about the games for Friday from a daily fantasy point of view. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now and you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way. Alright, so we're back now, transitioning into Friday mode. There are 10 games on Friday, so let's break these down from a daily fantasy point of view and see where we can get the most value out of these games. The first one we have a look at is the Toronto Raptors and the Orlando Magic. There is no spread out for this one, but what we do know is that Nikola Vucevic is out. Thankfully, he escaped serious injury with that knee problem. No ligament issues, no sprains, no tears, nothing like that. Just a bone bruise. It's probably going to keep him out 2 or 3 games. And what that means to me is that Dwayne Dedman is going to get a pretty big chunk of minutes. Now, he played 26 minutes in the last game. I think he gets more in this one. Because he's really their only center. Channing Frye is not going to play a huge amount of minutes at center. Aaron Gordon's too small to play big run at center. Dwayne Dedman and Aaron Gordon, though, at 3,700 for Dedman, 4,100 for Aaron Gordon, they're going to be the mainstays of so many daily fantasy lineups tomorrow. And if you don't put them in, I think you're probably going to end up missing out, which is, I think that's the way you've got to go. That price for Dedman is superb. In his 26 minutes yesterday, he put up 20.9 points. He's going to probably have a little bit of a bigger role because he's going to have to start and play most of the minutes for most of the game. Yes, there is a risk that Scott Skiles runs Gordon at the center, but that's an extremely small lineup if they run Gordon, Harris, and then Evan Fournier, Victor Oladipo, and Alfred Payton as the guards. It's real small. Dedman's got bulk. He can rebound. He can provide a defensive presence. He's a good shot blocker. I think he's going to be in for a really big game. And if you're looking for a couple of in-season long leagues, a couple of games over the weekend, I think Dedman's in for a really decent role. I like Damari Carroll from the Raptors side of things at 6,000, and we still have got to keep running Evan Fournier at 5,500. He's been putting up some massive numbers lately. He's averaging 32 over the course of the season so far, putting up some really, really big performances. And Kyle Lowry continues at 8,000. I think that's still a little bit underpriced for him. There's not much else that I really like in this game, though. Victor Oladipo at 8,000. If I'm spending $8,000, I'm spending it on Kyle Lowry. Alfred Payton has been a real disappointment this season. The thing is that at some point he's going to have to put in a big game, and maybe in a tournament you want to look at him and he's not overly priced. Maybe he puts up the numbers. It's going to happen at some point. We just don't know when that's going to be. DeMar DeRozan's been solid, but again, he's at $8,000. And I would rather spend $8,000 on Kyle Lowry, and I'd also rather spend $8,000 on Victor Oladipo than I would on DeMar DeRozan. The next game up, the Lakers and the Nets. Not much to really look at in terms of injury news from this one. It's It's probably the worst game of the season. The Nets are favored by 3.5. It's got a big total, though, 207, and we can still extract some fantasy value here. And I think the opposing power forwards are where it's at. Thad Young at 5,600 and Julius Randle at 5,700 are guys that I'm going to be looking at. I think they've got a really big chance to exceed their value. I like Jarrett Jack at 6,100. I also don't mind D'Angelo Russell. Yes, he's been disappointing, but against a team as bad as the Nets, maybe he has a bit of a breakout. It's a tournament only because he does have a low floor. But I think that is, if you're going to use D'Angelo Russell and spend $5,000 on a point guard, this is not a bad situation for him. We've seen big men destroy the Lakers, so Brook Lopez at 7,900 is one of the best spots to use him. The other guys, Jordan Clarkson was huge in the last game. It's going to be hard for him to continue at that sort of pace anyway. And at 6,600, I don't think I really want to use him at that price. And the other guys, Joe Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Roy Hibbert, I don't think we really want to deal with them in too many sort of lineups. Philadelphia and Cleveland is next up. The Cleveland Cavs are favored by 15, so there is massive blowout potential here. It's a very low total of 193.5 points, but I still reckon we can get some value here, and especially TJ McConnell, who's at 4,200. He put up almost a 35-point fantasy night in the last game. You think he's going to run out there and play pretty big minutes again against Cleveland. Yeah, I think he's almost a must-use guy. Him and Dwayne Dedman are going to be owned massively. Hopefully they are anyway, because I think they're going to be the real value guys. And if they stink, then a lot of lineups are going to fall flat on their face. There's another guy that's worth looking at, though, from a Cleveland point of view, and that's Richard Jefferson, who's going to start most likely in place of J.R. Smith. We're going up against a bad team in the Sixers. He's been playing some pretty decent minutes. He played 35 in the last game. We think he's going to get probably around that 30 mark again. And then he's a minimum salary, so he allows you to put some of these other big names in. So he's someone to pay attention to. You could pair Richard Jefferson and LeBron James. You know, you've got a minimum salary guy and a $10,000 salary guy. It's worth a look. I think that Matthew Dellavedova at 4,200 is worth a go without J.R. Smith. And Jahlil Okafor for the Sixers at 5,800 continues to feel underpriced to me. And I reckon that he had a pretty good game against the Cavs a couple of days ago. I think that he's a decent guy to look at too. I even like Kevin Love at 7,600. There's a couple of other low price guys. Nick Stauskas at 3,900 is definitely worth a look. Hollis Thompson at 38, probably not so much. And Mo Williams at 5,700 is someone that you can roster as well. So for this game being having blowout potential and having a low total, there's value plays there. McConnell, Jefferson, Dellavedova, Okafor. All these guys are at low salaries. I think they can be used in quite a number of situations. The next game up is the Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics. A lot of injuries for us to concern ourselves with here. Amir Johnson had a leg problem in the Celtics last game. Marcus Smart is questionable with a sprained toe, and that obviously changes a few things. Now, if Smart doesn't play, then Isaiah Thomas gets a bump in minutes and a bump in usage. So even though he's priced at 7,300, he put up 37 points last time. I think that he becomes a guy you want to definitely consider using. If Smart plays, I'm avoiding both of those guys. Jay Crowder at 4,700. He's averaging 22.6 points, and if he gets 22.6 points, that's almost enough value at that salary. If he goes higher, then you know you've won, and I think that's a pretty decent guy to have a look at in cash games anyway, because he's been really solid. He's averaging 22, but his highest is only 26, so he's really sort of consistent with his numbers. Jared Sullinger into the starting lineup, played 27 minutes last game, showed the sort of fantasy potential that he does have. At 5,200, that's a definite tournament play. Brad Stevens' big man rotation is the stuff of nightmares for most fantasy owners, though, so it is hard to rely on him. I'm actually looking at adding Jared Sullinger in some seasonal leagues just to see what happens, because he does have fantasy potential if he sticks. If he doesn't, then whatever. I'm dropping someone that's crap to get him, so I'm not dropping much value, but if it pans out, then I've got a top 75 player on my hands. Marcin Gortat's been really poor to start this season. Can he turn it around? Well, the Celtics front court's been poor as well, so he does have an opportunity. And Chris Humphreys' salary has dropped down to 3,900, so even though his minutes are right down, there is a chance that Chris Humphreys, in somewhat of a revenge game against one of his former teams, probably not that much of a big deal, but there is some sort of an impact there. At 3,900, you can use that to fill out a lineup. John Wall is priced at 9,500. That is really, really high. He is averaging 43 points, and depends on whether at least if you pair him with TJ McConnell or Dwayne Dedman, maybe you can afford that sort of price. But if he's averaging almost 9,500, he's averaging 9,500, you want him to be averaging 48, 49 points, and his highest score for the season is only 49. So not a great guy to really look at. And same with Brad Beal at 7,400. Yes, he was great in the last game, but he needs to be a lot better than that for me to add him into lineups and feel comfortable about it, especially in cash games. The next one up on the slate is the Milwaukee Bucks and the New York Knicks. The Knicks are favored by 1.5 points at home. We've got a total of 198.5. Aaron Aflalo is considered questionable, and for everyone's sake, let's hope that he doesn't play. The Bucks, OJ Mayo is out, John Henson is doubtful, Michael Carter-Williams is doubtful, so I'm going ahead and expecting those guys not to play. So Jared Bayless, at minimum salary, you think he's going to get another start in place of Carter-Williams. He sort of bombed in the last game, but again, it's minimum salary. There's a lot of minimum salary guys on the slate for Friday, and Bayless is one of those guys. I like Kristaps at 5,000. He's been really good this season. Robin Lopez at 4,300. He's struggled at times. He's had some decent performances against Milwaukee. I think there is a little bit of value in him, but I'm a little bit cautious. Giannis Antetokounmpo at 7,000. The price has risen, but not enough to deter me from using him. And Greg Monroe has been really good, but now his salary is at 8,300. So I probably want to avoid him. And same with Carmelo at 9,500. I don't love that sort of price point for him. With Aflalo potentially playing, let's hold off on guys like Jerian Grant and Langston Galloway just because we don't exactly look. I hope that it's Saša Vujčić that loses the value, but we don't exactly know because Derek Fisher isn't exactly the sharpest tool in the shed. So we need to sort of keep an eye on exactly how that plays out for the first game before we make any predictions of how it's going to move from there. I hope it works out the right way, but who knows? We can't make Derek Fisher again. Not the greatest judgment guy in the world. The next game up is the Atlanta Hawks and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Hawks, there's a number of injury guys to be concerned about here. They all should play. Thabo Sefolosha, Kyle Korver, Jeff Teague are all listed as probable. All those guys should play. Mike Muscala is questionable, but he has no impact anyway. So let's assume that Korver is playing. What that means is you're not using Dennis Schroeder anywhere. Kent Bazemore had 4,800. I don't want to use him at that price. The guys I do want to look at, though, is I want to look at Anthony Davis from the Pelicans. Obviously, he's at 10,600. I think this is a great opportunity for him to get his season back on track, and I think he's a great guy to look at. Same with Eric Gordon at 5,300. He's been putting up pretty solid value this season and pretty consistently solid value as well at 5,300. He's a good guy to have a look at. Al Horford's up to 7,700. Paul Millsap's up to 79. That's making them a little bit tough to roster at that price. Horford I'm probably more keen on than I am with Millsap, but I'm not overly thrilled with that sort of price. And Jeff Teague at 7,400. He's dealing with a finger issue. He was great in the last game. He's going up against a pretty depleted point guard situation in New Orleans. He's worth a look in. So he's not going to be terrible. I think that's the best way of putting it for Jeff Teague. With Holiday playing 25 minutes, we're not going to invest in Tony Douglas or definitely not investing in Ish Smith, despite some of those guys having some pretty decent performances. Look, Douglas is a guy you might want to have a look at. He did put up 24.2 points in the last game in 20 minutes, and at 3,900, that's a definite thing where you can look at that in a tournament. But does he get 20 minutes? Who knows? Who knows how they're going to run their rotation? The Miami Heat and the Indiana Pacers. The Heat are favored by one. We've got a total of 197.5 for the Pacers. We don't know the status of Jan Mahinmi or CJ Miles. They're both questionable, and Mario Chalmers is questionable for the Miami Heat. Miles Turner at 3,600 is someone I think we need to pay attention to. He's averaging 16.7 points so far this season, and at 3,600, that's almost enough to give us value. If Mahinmi's out and Turner is going to get his minutes back up, hopefully he gets to 23 or 24. He's a tournament guy that I like to have a look at. Aside from that, there's no one who I really, really love in this situation. Hassan Whiteside at 8,000 is an okay guy from a tournament point of view, but he can have nights like today. But even though he was decent, he only put up 23.8 fantasy points because of those big turnover numbers. And he's had some pretty big turnover numbers a lot this season. So don't count that out as being a one-off sort of thing. Paul George is too highly priced for me at 8,500. Monte Ellis is starting to look a little bit better, but at 6,300, I reckon there's other better options out on the board. And George Hill at 6,500, yeah, I don't mind him. He was quiet in the last game, but Miami, this is a slow-paced game. Nothing really is all that appealing to me in this sort of format. Detroit and Phoenix is up next. We should have Morris on Morris here. Assuming Markieff plays, he did miss practice due to an illness. The Suns are favored by 5 with a total of 200.5. Don't know why the Suns are favored by 5, considering how well Detroit's played, but let's see how that all plays out. Markieff Morris at 5,800. You'd think that he's going to want to be up for this game against his brother. Hopefully he puts up better value than we've seen from him this season. At 5,800, I think that's a pretty decent salary. And if you're looking, again, a cheap guy in this game, TJ Warren at 38. He put up over 21 in the last game. And at 3,800, that's pretty decent. Andre Drummond's been killing it this season, and he's at 93. He's a guy that you can lock in as an expensive center, and he's going to put up monstrous numbers, basically. Marcus Morris is priced the same as his brother. He's averaging more points than his brother this year. I think that they're both worth looking at. And Ersan Ilyasova is a pretty typical tournament option, 4,700, and he can put up some big numbers. Eric Bledsoe's been playing really, really well this year. He's had a high score of 55.6. He is priced at over 8,000. I loved it when he was under 8,000. Same with Reggie Jackson. Don't love it quite so much here. He still has use at that price, but I'm definitely not as in love with it as when he was at 78 or 7,700 last week. As for the bench guys, there's no one you really need to pay too much attention to here. Houston and Sacramento is the next game on the slate. No spread release for this one yet. We know that Terrence Jones is out with that cut eyelid. We know that Patrick Beverley is out with a concussion, and Corey Brewer is considered probable with a thigh contusion. So that means we're probably going to see Marcus Thornton in the starting lineup again. He's priced at 4,100. He is a great play to look at. If we hear that Brewer's playing at 4,100, again, I think that he is worth a look in certain situations against the Sacramento team, who is really struggling. And James Harden at 9,800. This game could be over pretty quickly, but I think Harden could still tear the Kings a new one pretty quickly. And he's priced at under 10,000. You're not going to see James Harden at under 10,000 for many in many games this season. For the Kings, Kostas Koufos will get another start. He might not get another start, but he'll get a pretty decent minute run with DeMarcus Cousins out again. He's at 4,200. Willie Cauley-Stein's come under 5,000. He's at 49. I don't want anything to do with him. And Dwight Howard at 8,300. That's still too expensive for me, even though he played well last time. I love Trevor Ariza at his price. He was big in the last game. And I think Marco Bellinelli is a really nice punt play at 3,900. You'll see there's so many cheap guys for Friday's slate that we can have a look at. Without Patrick Beverley, Ty Lawson's probably going to play 40 minutes. He's at 6,800. I really like him as well. And Omri Caspi's another cheap option at 3,900. He'll get some power forward minutes when the Kings run with Koufos and then Caspi at the four, and then run some Bellinelli looks. One thing we don't want to do is play Ben McLemore, because he is getting completely destroyed by George Karl's rotation. And that's fine, because McLemore, he was supposed to take another step. He hasn't. Whatever. The Warriors and the Nuggets is the last game on the slate. The Warriors are favored by 17. That is a huge spread. A total of 214.5. That is a huge total as well. We know that Andrew Bogut probably won't play. We think that Joffrey Lavernier is questionable to play with his back injury. Festus Ezeli at 3,800 with no Bogut is someone to pay attention to. But with this spread being so big, I don't know. Look, Klay Thompson at 6,800, he can easily recover that sort of value even in limited minutes. But do you want to spend 11,000 on Steph Curry? Yes, I know he's been out of control and he's been that good, but he might only have to play 25 minutes in this game, and that's going to really hurt you. So that's something where I think that we need to probably pull back on him. I don't think I'd want to spend the money on him there. The guys who I think have the value is Harrison Barnes at 5,000, Klay Thompson at 6,800. They're some guys who are worth looking at. And Nuggets players, I'm pretty much leaving most of those guys alone. That's it. The podcast is done for today. I'll be back tomorrow, obviously, with another show. I'm also going to be appearing on another podcast tomorrow. A guest of the podcast back in the preseason, Mika Honkasalo, has started up his own podcast. It's not fantasy-based. We're going to be talking NBA, so I'll be on that tomorrow, and I'll definitely tweet out the link when it is released. Make sure you are following me on Twitter at redrock_bball. And you know what? I forgot to put up my daily fantasy graphic. Let's do that. Let's go that. Let's go through the Friday's DFS plays. Okay, at point guard, TJ McConnell, Jarrett Jack, and Kyle Lowry. They're three value plays at each tier. Shooting guard, Marcus Thornton, Klay Thompson, and James Harden. Thornton at 41, Thompson at 68, and Harden at 9,800. At small forward, Richard Jefferson, Trevor Ariza, and LeBron James at 10,100. At power forward, I like Aaron Gordon at 4,100, Thad Young at 56, and Anthony Davis at 10,600. While the center position, we've got Dwayne Dedmon at 3,700, Jahlil Okafor at 5,800, and Brook Lopez at 7,900. Let's try that sign off again. Follow me on Twitter at redrock @Bebel. Again, subscribe to this podcast either on YouTube or on iTunes. Leave me a review. Become a sponsor of the show for the day. Check out everything happening over at Basketball Monster and Hardwood Paroxysm. That's it. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.